This week on The Droids, Chapter 4 of The Mandalorian, as we get further away from the source material of this entire series. Where are we in the galaxy? What's going to happen to Baby Yoda? We're going to get into all of it this week on The Droids. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast, a special edition of the show, because even though we're trying to come out with episodes after the end of each Mandalorian chapter, this is a holiday-themed edition. You know, we're going to talk about getting your family together, eating some one-eyed frogs. That's what everybody's coming together at the table for this time of year, right, guys?
Yeah, please excuse if there's any background noise. I'm recording this from the entrance line at a Walmart. trying to get that flat screen, baby.
It's Black Friday on this record. Black Friday, the day Chapter 4 dropped right after.
As it will be known.
I believe I had some yesterday. I had some seared tip yip.
Oh yeah, the tip yip.
Which is delicious.
With a side of Kwaki and monkey lizard.
I had some fried chicken feet from a giant cat moth, I think it's called.
Loathcat.
That creature has been featured before.
I think it's
a loathcat. There you go. Yep.
Oh, loathcat.
Well,
so cool.
Of course.
Before we get into all of this, you've got, of course, Mike alongside Ryan and Sam for this edition of the pod. Sad to be without Chris, but Chris was off world.
He was taken down at a Costco.
Yeah. As he was stocking up for Life Day. This edition, we'll talk about Chapter 4. But before we get into Chapter 4, Ryan, it has been a couple of weeks. The Mandalorian, there's been a lot that has happened. We've not gotten your take on episodes, yeah. Or should I say Chapters 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. If you want to briefly give us your thoughts on those episodes and what you took away from it as we came into Chapter 4.
We know what Ryan thinks of Episodes 2 and 3 already.
Yeah, sure. You say briefly, but I'm more of a boxer man, so here we go. And being brief is not my forte. I've been enjoying the show great. I mean, I was hesitant at first hearing that all of the episodes would be a half hour long, but I actually enjoy the brevity. I think that the show's light on its feet. I think it's great. The tonally, it bounces back and forth. I think it's wonderful. And I've been thoroughly enjoying it. I think the character of the Mandalorian is very good. I'm glad that he's not just this kind of like silent protagonist, that, you know, he actually has a personality, which I've enjoyed. And I thought that I listened to the last pod. You guys brought up salient points about it doing the same beats as the first episode. It's not something that dawned on me when I was watching it, probably because I was so distracted by little Baby Yoda's ears flapping in the wind. But, that was a very good point. I Carl Weathers is in a different show than everyone else, but I'm here for that show also. He's really getting the stew going. So I'm a really big fan of that. Especially, I'm so glad you guys brought up the hollow communication he did. It was insane.
It's really weird.
It was like he was channeling Errol Flynn. It was amazing.
He's like center stage at the Globe Theater or something.
It's really magical. So I've really been enjoying it, and I thought that today's episode was really bad.
Wow.
Very bad.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Just to jump in with overall impressions, this episode was so far of the four chapters we've seen, this was my least, like the one I was least engaged with. It had like, I kind of agree. I don't know that I'd go so far as to say it was really bad in my reading, but it was the weakest of the four, for me so far. But it was a little concerning again, because like, while I really enjoyed Chapter 3, one of the problems I had with Chapter 3 was I felt like it, like ultimately the it barely moved the ball forward.
Yeah. Barely moving the ball forward.
Well, and this is what I'm getting at, is like two chapters in a row. You know, I'm lukewarm. But that said, I think we you know, we might disagree on some points, Ryan, because there was some stuff I really enjoyed in this, and I'm anticipating it's some stuff you really didn't enjoy.
Well,
so
here's the thing. I'm glad that a pond features prominently in this episode, because man, oh man, was it treading water. can I get some of, I'm going to say some positive things, but I want to get out my big, you know, I haven't been, I'm a tiger in a cage. I haven't been on the pod in a long time. Plus I have some like snarky things that I prepared, you know? So, things I like, I thought it was well directed, as all the episodes have been. It was, this one was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard. I don't think I've seen anything she's, directed before. I think she's a very talented actor. Yeah. I think primarily all of the issues, and I don't, you know, I don't want to come on down on my coin boy, Jon Favreau, but I think all of the issues that have been arising with the series are structural and writing related. So if I may, and I don't want to speak in a pejorative about specific shows, but especially some of these shows I really like, this to me felt like an episode of network television. There's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with network television, but it felt like, oh, this is like one in a series of 22 episodes yeah. in a year that they're going to do, and they need a story. It felt like a Kung Fu story. It felt like a Xena Warrior Princess story.
Xena. I was going to say Xena.
It felt, at best, it felt, and this is a show I adore, it felt like a Firefly story, but it the beginning and the end, we learned nothing. The in terms of the plot moving forward, that's not everything. I found the writing extremely lazy, especially the character stuff. I thought it was tropey. I thought it was like bad. I thought it was really bad. Like not in the point that it made me angry. I wasn't like so angry like watching it that I thought this is terribly done. I just thought that in terms of, you know, we have 4 hours of this thing and it's starting to show that like Jon Favreau has never run a show before. He's never written a show before, because this clearly could have, you know, if we have 8 episodes, this clearly could have been done as a movie. Like if it's not adding more
yeah.
to the story. And I'm not saying that they could have just done a movie. I just think that there should be more. There should have been something more interesting done than an episode of Firefly or Xena Warrior Princess that you could have seen 20 years ago.
The clarity of what you're talking about with the lack of Jon Favreau obviously being a showrunner, being a writer who can carry this through. They talked about 4 episodes is what he had written when he came to Lucasfilm with this idea and came to Kathleen Kennedy. I hope he's done. I hope like someone else is going to start writing the show. No, I don't think this was a terrible episode. I'm just saying I think he has probably a talent for building worlds. He has a talent for directing. I don't think he has a talent necessarily for writing, and I think that's where we're starting to fall here towards this episode. I did not dislike this episode. That was not my initial reaction, but I want to see somebody write who's not him.
I'm being negative. Like I didn't actively dislike it, but at the end of it, when I thought, like, again, with what they're selling us, this is the first live action Star Wars show. I thought, you know, it felt a little bit like last week was not treading water because there was so much action, but it's like, oh, that wasn't moving forward. We're now at the halfway point of this thing, and it's like we're having an episode where he's helping a village that we may never see again.
Yeah.
It just and in terms of the laziness and the tropiness, like this is a secretive character. We learn from the Mandalorian like culture that, you know, they don't remove their helmets in front of anybody. It's a very serious thing. And he reveals all this information to someone. The first person he reveals this information to someone is someone he's been in a room with for like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Who just walks in and gives him food. And she's very nice and stuff. She seems lovely. And maybe they're trying to put forth that he's just so desperate for human connection. But he's talked to people. It's like it seems so quick. It seems so inconsistent. It was just like, oh, how are we going to do backstory and exposition for this character? I know. We'll put him in a room with a pretty girl, and like he'll entertain the notion of giving up his entire like way of life for her after 5 seconds.
The biggest thing too was that it was all through dialogue, which was weird. You know, I think some of the stuff, this is just, you know, again, comparing sort of episodes or chapters 3 and 4. I'm really trying to stick to this chapter thing. But like sticking to that comparison, there was some stuff in chapter 3 that, while, you know, one of my biggest gripes was that I did feel that chapter treaded water, there was some stuff that was revealed about Mandalorian culture through the interaction, like Mandalorian to Mandalorian, which I found really interesting. And it was, you know, I maybe wouldn't go so far as to call it, you know, truly subtle, but it was subtler than this. And it was like, oh, we can piece together the way they feel about one another. We can piece together like what it is the way maybe means, like what that phrase's cultural significance is to Mandalorians, because it was done through, you know, it was used in two distinct moments in the episode of tension that sort of gave the audience some room to suss out what that phrase means to Mandos ourselves. Whereas this was literally, you know, in their, I believe, second moment of conversation, the woman who has known him for a few minutes asks if he ever takes his helmet off.
Also, how badly drawn is she? Like
funny that it's like that would be your first. It's like if you meet someone wearing a helmet, like, or a mask or something, if you've only known them for 30 minutes, I don't know why your assumption, and they haven't taken it off, I don't know why your assumption would be they never take it off.
Hey, look, when you've got Raiders on the horizon, you cannot mess around. You need to get directly to the point, because you're probably going to be killed by these Raiders who come back in greater numbers.
And that actor, like, she's doing what she can with it, but the character, how badly drawn she is, she walks into that room in love with him.
Yeah.
It's insane. She's already there, and it's like, they give no indication that, like, they say later in the episode that she's a widow, but it doesn't seem like she's living in this solitary, you know, she's not out in a hut in Tatooine, you know, alone, and this is the first person she's seen. It's like, she walks in. It's a very odd scene. She walks in. Her daughter kind of creeps up behind them, like trying to look at Baby Yoda. The Mandalorian spins around like he's about to shoot her, as if he didn't know he was in a town full of people. Like, we've never even seen him react to stormtroopers that way.
Right.
He spins around like he's in mass danger, even though it's a little girl. Like, he wouldn't know that. He's surrounded by people. It's this very – it's such a badly written scene. And I was baffled by it. Honestly.
Well, hey, Ryan,
she's not only immediately in love with him, but she's also ready to adopt his baby by the end and just take on the permanent, like, mother role.
Well, to be fair, it was Gina Carano who suggested that he settle down there and raise the kid with her. It wasn't, she didn't exactly say that she would take that on. She wanted him to stay.
He said that he would leave. He would leave the baby there, and she said, "I will raise him as my own."
Oh, I thought you were saying raising it together. That's right. She did say that. I do want to say, though, back to your other point, Ryan, is that, you know, you said that she had other options. It's not like she was living alone in a hut. I had no other one else around. When your other options are Pillboy from The Good Place, I understand why the Mandalorian is so attractive. I get it. No,
I mean,
sorry,
the,
no, no
I
assault to
that
Eugene.
She may
there.
Think that's a very well drawn, you know, silhouette, even though she has no idea what's under that mask. But I also do want to speak. This whole show, we've been seeing it from the Mandalorian's perspective, to the point that we're getting information from infrared sensors through walls in previous episodes. You know, and this episode opens with a cold open that he's not present for. That also, I understand it's this like crazy action scene, kind of. It's this raid, but it adds nothing. They could have just shown up to the village and they tell them what happened, and then they were getting the information with the Mandalorian. I thought it was this very strange break of the form of the show.
Yeah.
Like, you have a point of view that you've stuck to. Why? I don't even think there's been a scene without the Mandalorian yet. So to me, that's literally bad writing. It's just like that's you're not following the rules of the show you've created.
Well, this is interesting, right? Because I didn't notice. That didn't jar me so much, you know, because we have seen like moments of flashback. One thing that I when it opened, what I assumed was the daughter who had been chasing the frog. I assumed it was Gina Carano, and this was like the setup. Now, when
that would have made sense.
When I realized that wasn't her backstory and that we weren't getting this sort of whatever, you know, two halves of the same coin, that she had a similar, you know, childhood or, you know, experience to our Mandalorian. It didn't necessarily bother me. I'll have to rewatch to sort of note your note about like perspective shift and why that's weird. What I think you said earlier, though, in terms of this feels like this felt like a network show. This felt like it did. It honestly felt like an episode of like Xena or Star Trek or something, you know, that it was, you know, action heavy or whatever, but some episodic show from, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I think my issue with that is that it's inconsistent with what's been given so far. Mm-hmm. You know, like this episode felt very inconsistent and incongruous to what we've seen thus far. And that's what I think bothered me, was that I think, and I could be wrong, but I think all of us on this pod would probably be very down for, you know, a network style 22 episode, episodic, you know, Star Wars show that just was, you know, every episode opens, there's a new problem, in walks the Mandalorian, he helps out of the town, and then, you know, and then David banners his way out of town, a la the Incredible Hulk, sad music, you know. But it was David Banner on the show. It wasn't Bruce Banner. It was David Bruce Banner. That's why I said
They changed it. They thought it was more masculine. That's true.
That's, of course they did. What a horrible time. How crazy. But also, like, that's one version of this show. And I think it's a show we'd all show up for and be very excited about. It'd be very fun.
Yeah, Sunday that's nights this, on ABC.
That's part of what, that's what this episode was doing, right? But the previous three chapters of The Mandalorian have been this running slow burn narrative, this serialized drama, and with, you know, beats of comedy and everything. You know, it's a serialized show. And that inconsistency did feel really weird.
Yeah, it would make sense if this was even a 12 episode series, but more of a 22, that if we got three of this kind of setting up, and then four, we get into the quote unquote procedural aspect of this.
Yep.
But we don't have time for that. We shouldn't have time. There should be enough story.
There's four episodes left. This was a full episode. This was 1/8 of our season one. And I hate to say it, because I, like Mike, I enjoyed the episode. I didn't have, I think, as much of an issue maybe as you did, Ryan. But
There's a basement to least enjoyable, I still enjoy it. You know, it's still cozy.
Yeah, but it does slightly bum me out that it's like, oh, this is 1/8 of our experience, and it feels like the other three so far have been better, and I thought we were getting eight of that quality.
Speaking of the bummed out side of things, I was bummed out in the last episode when they were repeating scenes, when the scenes were exactly the same, like we talked about, and you brought up Ryan earlier. I was like, what's going on? Why am I seeing the same thing? Why am I seeing a slow pan down from the Mythosaur's helmet or a skull into their forging center so I can see the exact same thing with the exact same music? I don't mind being in the same setting, but they just did the same thing, and then the scenes
Chris
expanded,
loves the pan. Chris really, I'll just jump in for Chris here because he's not here to speak for himself, but I do know that, you know, Chris loves to pan down.
Chris does love that. And he loves the pan down. Any story we hear going forward, you got to have that pan down.
Also, I don't think you guys brought this up on the last episode, but that jetpack Mandalorian, I clocked it immediately. The one that ends up being like the hero that salutes him at the end, Jon Favreau does the voice of.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that
you can
you're
tell
saying
because he sounds like he's from Flushing.
you're saying that Jon Favreau did not put on the suit?
You know that big bulky Mandalorian that kicks everyone's ass and is the only one who stands up to our hero? Yeah, Jon Favreau did that one. You could tell it feels like the same scene in Chef where he's like, this is molten chocolate.
I agree. I can't wait for him to rage against social media in the next episode.
You know when you finally just stand up to people like critics? You know how relatable that is? You stand up to your film/food critic and say, I'm trying here, guys.
Now let me show you my assault blaster.
My God.
I want to go just briefly back to what you're talking about. The treading water, an aspect you've said that if this was a network TV series, you can kind of get away with that. That's a little bit more expected if it was that Sunday night ABC show. I think in this episode, the issue of the writing really came up is that, all right, well, we have the 8 hours. We can't waste the time. This would work in 22 episodes, like we're saying. I wouldn't have had such a minute microscope focus on what was going on and feeling a bit disappointed by that. But that being said, my mind can accept this because I'm so conditioned by what I've seen for decades in 22 episode seasons of network TV that I was like, all right, well, you know, I had some fun during that episode. There were some cool things. Not everything was for me, but I really enjoyed it. The biggest things that made me kind of sitting there at the end feeling a little bit off was, as you talked about, Ryan, the tonal shifts. And I mentioned it before we started the podcast, but the villagers, it didn't feel right. Like, it just, it felt like the way they were speaking was if they were in, you know, Parks and Recreation. And it's not just because they had characters or actors who had played characters in previous Michael Schur shows, but it just didn't feel natural. And maybe it's because they were all human. There were no languages that were typically from Star Wars. Only Baby Yoda was the only non-human creature. I just never felt like the village made sense to me after the opening scene. The opening scene on its own, and I agree with you, there's a lot there where it's like, well, why is this happening when you're not seeing the Mandalorian? We've seen only his perspective. But the opening scene at least established, okay, why they're in need, why they're in danger, what's going on, they're krill farmers. There was some emotion there as they're hiding under the basket. That wasn't a bad scene on its own if you take it out of the rest of the story. But
yeah, there was nothing egregious about how it was made.
But it just, with the larger context of the show, it's a yeah. little bit baffling. But to me, it was then the follow-up from there where, you know, they're Pillboy, and I can't, because we have no idea what the character's name is, so Eugene, the actor.
Eugene Cordero from The Good Place.
Yeah, as they make their way over to the Mandalorian, and they're talking, and they're like, wow, wasted a whole day coming over here. And it's just like the tone of their dialogue, it just didn't feel like the same show we've been watching.
I mean, his wig alone. You know what I mean?
The performances, I was going to bring this up because it started actually before that for me with like the bartender at the bar.
Oh yeah.
Like
totally.
her performance. So I'm also watching like very slowly. I'm only like three episodes in. I'm watching Dark Crystal on Netflix.
Ooh,
and
so good.
Which is really good. Really beautifully, beautifully, puppeteered and animated and like put together show. But there were similarities to the performances of these villagers to like characters from Dark Crystal.
Right.
It was very broad. It was very like kind of children's TV. And I agree completely with you guys that this was from a different series. And, you know, as a standalone thing, that doesn't have to purely be bad, but there's a little bit of a whiplash going on. Like, I'm curious to see what the next chapter feels like, you know, like tonally, because I think if it's, you know, we've still yet to be introduced to Giancarlo Esposito's character. There's a lot like we know is coming. We obviously still will have resolutions with Grief. The big resolution will be with Werner Herzog's character and whatever the scientist is. So I'm like, if I know that tonally we're going back to that place, you know, this is going to feel very strange, I think.
Yeah, unless we're like, man, remember like episode 4 ended up being what tied it all together.
Well, but that's what I did want to say is that let's take a beat and realize that maybe they might pick up the episode exactly where it left off at the end of chapter 4 in chapter 5 with Gina Carano coming back to maybe save the Mandalorian as he makes his way to his ship. We could see more of these characters, and they would have to do a lot of work to improve the role of the woman who helps him out.
Yeah, I'm going to say even if they do that, there are still scenes in this show that like this episode that just are not well done in terms of how they're written. Even if she ends up being like the big bad villain, which she won't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's still like this is not how this is not how people interact with each other. And I understand we're in a galaxy far, far away. And I may say though, this trope of like we have to teach these like bumpkin villagers to fight blah blah blah. Like they go someone doesn't even have like the pointy end of the stick the right way, and it's like, are you joking? Like I understand it's like a comedic beat, but if you're like, who here knows how to shoot? And they show everybody just like shooting wildly. It's like, come on. Like these, you want us to think so little of these villagers that they don't know what pointy end of the stick or how to even like point a gun in the right direction.
You had decades of training for stormtroopers and they still couldn't hit anything. So I think it's fair to say these villagers wouldn't be able to hit anything right away.
I also thought the Raiders were like uninteresting. They were just like othered in this way that it was like they're just like an ugly alien species.
Kind of like an ugly alien dog species.
Yeah, they just looked like it, again to Firefly, it was just like, oh, like okay, so they have Reavers or they have or like orcs. You know, like it's
yeah,
just like
they were nothing. They were very much I was thinking orcs from you know the orc and Uruk-hai from Lord of the Rings kind of a thing.
I've never heard of
them. I was interested I guess the one thing that I still have curiosity about is like so the woman the immediate love interest as introduced I am curious about like where her shooting experience came from. I think that
which makes me believe we're gonna go back to her because
I think
we
we're
got
gonna go
nothing
back to
about
her
that
and
yeah because like, that's really bad that, writing if we never hear anything about why she could shoot well.
Yeah, and I guess I'm like, I don't know. I hope they do something with that that interests me more than what they did with the rest of this episode. But I, you know, I found that interesting. I liked this is what annoys me. I liked what we learned about like the Mandalorian and the significance of the helmet and like why, you know, what it means to remove and not remove it and everything. I just really didn't like how it was done. It was like two dialogue scenes with like where he was literally, you know, expositioning in response to direct questions about it. And I was like, oh, this is interesting, like lore and material, kind of clumsily revealed. And then you know what else I liked? I didn't know this, and I'm kind of surprised to say it. I really like Gina Carano's voice. Her voice nice.
Oh, I was very, very surprised at how much I enjoy Gina Carano. I have been on record.
Yeah, I thought she was good. I'm not usually a fan of her acting.
No, neither am I. I've been on record on this podcast about how much I was like, why are they casting her? Please cast someone who can actually act. And I thought she did very well. And maybe my expectations were just very low. But at no time was I kind of cringing by witnessing someone try to act who can't act, and she did a very nice job. I was impressed.
I will say this, the Mandalorian's armor, while very cool, is it's not like a suit of armor. There are plenty of soft spots on them, you know what I mean?
And did anyone
else keep punching him in that face when he's wearing a helmet?
It is really dumb. It is really, really dumb that people, like, of all the places, it's like hit him in the ribs, hit him in the kidneys.
It's the sharpest. It's like, it looks like it would hurt the most to hit. Very jaggedy.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like the places I would not aim would be like shoulders, solar plexus, and head. I'd aim literally
anywhere shoulders,
else.
Knees, and toe.
I hope I don't ruin anything for you guys going forward, but I could not stop watching the fact that his chest plate was too low. It was hanging way too low. It wasn't on his chest. It was,
maybe that's his casual. Maybe like that's his version of like dad mowing the lawn with his shirt off.
It was. I did notice. You're not ruining anything because I noticed it was. Please, I'm a jacket guy. I noticed that his armor like was hanging differently on him in this episode.
It just
seems like where's the costume person who's working this 8-episode series and saying like, hey, for consistency, let's keep it up where it always is.
It's so strange. It also just made me just be like, okay, the difference in leadership per episode, not saying that a director is worse than any others, but it's just that's part of why we're seeing so many shifts, and there might be more attention to detail based on who's running each episode. I think Bryce Dallas Howard did a fine job, but bringing someone in who hasn't directed as much to an episode like this is why we see the tonal shifts and why we probably see some of the performances that felt very odd and off-putting tonally in this episode, because we don't know. I mean, how much work has she done before where she's leading actors?
I'm still putting it on the writing because I think that the actors, the actor playing Omera, who's the woman from The Village, I looked it up. I didn't want to just keep calling her the woman.
I think she's doing
what she can. I think everybody is doing acting work.
I was going back to Sam's bartender, and that was rough.
Strong. And there's this very cynical piece of me that is afraid that they were like, hey, like, you know, Bryce Dallas Howard isn't really known for directing like actiony stuff or anything like that, and we have this like episode where there's like more like lovey stuff. Oh, maybe we should give her that, which I would hate if that was the case, because it's also the stuff that like Jon Favreau is the worst at writing. So it's like right. getting this, she's being handed like his weak points, because it's like this thing. I really hope that's not what happened, but there's this like piece of me that's like, I bet that's probably like what happened.
I honestly, Ryan, I had the same thought. Like, you bringing that up, is that's exactly the thing that I noted the most was, I was like, oh, this is the one that's the most, it has the most romantic, you know, overtones. It's the most about like, it features the most like family of any of them. Now, obviously, like, so far everybody in this show like is like, their families are broken and everything, but it's definitely, you know, it's like, oh, this is a softer episode. This is a little bit like, I think intended to be, you know, a brighter episode. They talk about it being like, oh, this is the place where Baby Yoda's happy and everything, and it felt like, you know, it definitely felt like intentional, but you know, I don't know how they assigned episodes. I don't know how they went about it. I don't know what control, you know, what level of control directors had. But there was definitely, I don't know. I have those same concerns, I guess, is the short thing.
I thought,
yeah,
she
I don't
did.
Mean to take agency away from Bryce Dallas Howard. She may have picked this episode, but I also think she was given the weak points of the writer too.
But I also thought she did a very fine job on the action sequence at the end. I liked with Gina Carano in the putt in the pond with the AT-ATST hanging on the side of the edge. I mean, there was a lot that was really nice in that sequence.
She specifically did a great job of setting up the geography of that village throughout, you know, because we were very familiar with that pond from the beginning. I thought that all was really well done.
And I loved.
Didn't understand how they drew the AT-ST forward. Like, it seemed like it stopped before their trap because it recognized there was a trap, and then later, like,
that's
it
more
forgot,
of a writing
it got
issue.
Angry. Yeah, it is, and I don't get it.
Yeah,
like
that confused me as well. I thought, okay, if it knows it's a trap, okay, well then that should be done. Why is there gonna? How are they still gonna get it in?
Apparently, it just
plus
stopped.
No one said it's a trap. So how are we just supposed to know?
It stopped, I guess, apparently just out of dumb luck. Right? Like, is that what
I
we're,
mean?
Like,
it literally hovers its foot above the pond.
I'm just being
then, like,
cautious
better.
Of the pond.
Right.
You know what?
So
I don't know the depth of this pond. Who knows? I did love what I thought was kind of the War of the Worlds moment, where
that was great.
The AT-ST comes up from behind the trees, and I love that we got the red eyes, because we haven't seen an AT-ST at night except for maybe in Solo for a very brief moment. And so to see that the internal aspect of that cockpit is bright red and gives it that red eye was really awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh, I really liked. Yeah, I liked that as well, and I really liked.
Or maybe someone was caught off guard and they were getting freaky in there. You know what I mean? They brought in
some shades.
They brought in their own lighting.
Oh boy!
Brought their own lighting.
I also really liked.
This is my walker.
Little,
I don't
like,
know. I'm kind of in charge of it.
Computer that was like lit throughout. I thought that was cool looking.
These are the eyelids. We can open them up and look at the stars if you want. Yeah, no, that's the trigger.
Well, I do want to say, speaking of stars, and I want to give a moment of, hey, let's talk about some things we really liked in this episode. I could live in Baby Yoda looking up at the stars for a very long time. That was...
Guys, I haven't been on the last few episodes, so I should say he's very cute. I don't know if anyone's noticed yet. I haven't seen a lot about it, but man, he is very cute. Or she. She may be very, you know, whatever.
They confirmed
baby.
It is. They confirmed he.
They confirmed
in,
he?
In dialogue, the doctor confirmed he when the Mandalorian in Chapter 3 took him away. He said, he is okay. I've been looking after him.
Oh, the Kamino doctor.
Yes, the Kamino doctor. But I do think, even in this episode, they've done no wrong with Baby Yoda. I still thought the majority of the Baby Yoda things in this were great. I loved when he was playing with the buttons in the ship at the beginning, and he just goes back to it. And there's a lot of, you know, obviously, Jon Favreau, what, he has kids, I'm sure, but there's a lot of, like, elements of just, I think they're almost... They're getting to the point that maybe they're doing it too much, where it's just so many things about here's what kids do, and so we're going to have him as the kid do all of this. And it's cute, and I hope that it works for everybody, but let's not, like, overdo it. But with him, Baby Yoda, engaging with the kids in the village, hunting down frogs again, there was just a lot of fun with that. And watching him walk more often, please, more of that. It's just wonderful. And then the run-in with the Loathcat, like we talked about.
It's very cute.
The Loathcat thing I thought was very funny. I just really like cats. I'll go on record. Big cat lover. Love cats. That's a big cat, too. So it's like more to love, which is great.
We love big cats.
I love big cats. But also, like, I really enjoyed the scene where he was, like, again, eating the frog. Like, we've seen him eat, like, you know, the desert lizard before in Chapter 2. And he's got that frog in his mouth. And when all the other kids are, like, grossed out and, like, laughing, that it's, like, that attention that he's getting, it's like he reads that and then spits the frog out. I was like, this is very funny. That is what kids do. They like, they seek approval and they respond to like warm emotions. That was a great moment.
I take it from that silence, Ryan, you don't have anything else that you liked about the episode?
No, not really.
I do.
I do love Baby Yoda. I don't think they're leaning into the mystery of Baby Yoda enough. Like,
yeah, a little bit.
I'm like, are we all ignoring this? That there's a Baby Yoda? Like, everybody accepted this, which is fine.
Well, also,
well, they don't. I wonder how widely known was Yoda at this point in the history of the galaxy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't know how many people knew Yoda. I'm talking about from like our perspective, which is like, shouldn't we be wondering? I don't. If we may speak about like the reception to Baby Yoda, has anyone found it like surprisingly unanimously positive?
Oh yes, but
cutest. I love him. I'm not saying that it should be negative, but I'm shocked.
Well, it's
like,
also
absolutely shocked.
There's clearly a lot of cachet and a lot of subscribers for Disney Plus because anybody who's watching, it was subscribed to Disney Plus, is watching the show. And people who don't care about Star Wars are talking about Baby Yoda. It's been in circles where I've walked by and I'm like, really? This group of people cares about Baby Yoda? Wow.
But yeah, I'm just like surprised. I'm like, people who were complaining about Ewoks love Baby Yoda. You know, like, and like,
well, and it's also,
I love
it's
Ewoks,
also running
Baby.
It also runs the risk of like, you know, they're treading on sacred ground as far as Star Wars is concerned.
Runs
you know,
the risk
Yoda,
of breaking
like,
the universe.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I agree with you, Ryan, that it is surprising because it's like, oh, Yoda's not just like, Yoda's not just some guy, you know? It's like, they chose, like, a hugely
important... It's not like a baby
important...
Gungan.
Right. It's not a... He didn't pick up an Ewok, right? He picked up something that we've never seen touch that has been truly, like, sacred for the entire... you know, 9-film saga, and they're just like, yeah, we're gonna play in that sandbox, and it's, you know, it's pretty bold.
My bigger issue is that the Mandalorian continues to walk around with Baby Yoda, the most sought after bounty in all of the galaxy, openly visible to all sorts of people, all sorts of aliens, everywhere on the planet where he goes to drop him back off with Werner Herzog. They're just out there with the pod floating
through. He literally goes to a cantina with him.
He's just open. What's going on? You're supposed to be this incredible bounty hunter. You should at least be aware that there are going to be people who are hunting for him. And Gina Carano could have pulled out a blaster and shot him in that second.
He's an incredible bounty hunter, but I'm starting to think maybe he's a super bad dad.
Well, he's about to get someone else along for the ride because we know Gina Carano's not going anywhere. So he'll have mom for Baby Yoda pretty soon.
I think we'll have to see. This may be a turning point.
I keep on thinking that this, we're going to be like, all right, here's new territory. Here's where they go off in a story that we haven't seen before. New direction, new establishment of what this show is going to be. And then we once again don't move the ball forward like we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, conceivably the ball has not truly moving forward since the beginning of episode 3. Or the end of episode 2, I should say. Chapter 2. Because like...
Because it felt like he'd already made that call, like Sam had said, where he'd already made the decision.
Well, yeah, and it was exciting and stuff. And now there's a bounty on the baby, but there was already a bounty on the baby from every bounty hunter in the galaxy. And now it's the same bounty on the same baby from every bounty hunter in the galaxy.
Yep, and he's
still
the one holding
the
football.
She's like, who's that bounty on? And he's like, him. And it's like, yeah, Okay. So it's the big twist that we thought the bounty was on the Mandalorian, but it's still on Baby Yoda. It's like, that's not much of a twist.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Nothing
I don't
has
know. Yeah.
changed.
I don't.
Literally,
Yeah.
you can lift
I
this
don't.
episode out, nothing changed.
Yeah. I don't think they're. I don't. I don't want to be pessimistic. I don't know that we're going to see big, like, shifts. I mean, I think this is the story. I think the story is about, like, we know there is a super powerful force user that is a baby Yoda. We know that some forces aligned with the fallen empire won it. And I mean, I think, like, I think that I think what we're getting is, the middle episodes are going to be about the skipping from planet to planet or town to town or whatever it is, like, on the run. I, could be proven wrong and would love to be proven wrong, but also, it, again, I think we're all, like, I don't know. They're one, as far as I'm concerned, they're one really great chapter away. Chapter five, a really solid episode, and I'm fully back, fully invested and happy to be getting all that I'm getting.
I'm
So,
still fully invested, and I
yeah, me
actually think
too.
the humanity of Baby Yoda has like really they've been trying to up that to another degree because obviously we don't see the Mandalorian's face. So there's just that aspect that I felt nervous when the sniper was putting him in the sights, and I was worried that this might be the end of Baby Yoda, and because it
Yeah,
felt like,
I
hey, he
said,
had plenty of an opportunity
on
to pull the
Disney
trigger.
Plus, are they going to show an exploding baby Yoda? You know, I was like, are they going to do this?
They
I was
did.
worried for the kids watching. I
Well,
was worried for the
you didn't,
internet.
Ryan, you didn't realize that's actually what the toy for Christmas has been. They didn't want to release it
Exploding
until
baby
the end
Yoda?
of chapter four
Yeah.
had to air. So now
Yeah.
Exploding Baby Yoda on sale at
With
your local Disney
extra
store.
green viscera.
Oh, man.
Poor
Yeah,
baby.
I don't know. So to me, this was again like this is another like retread thing where it's like we're setting up, Baby Yoda in the crosshairs, and then we hear a shot. It was like a
Yeah,
little
yeah.
bit like, it was one of those things. Like, I think I said in a couple episodes ago, I was like, ah, oh, or maybe on our first episode, I was like, that always works for me. I was like,
You did say
show the
that,
danger, the
Sam.
like. I think I said like that'll always work on me, and I was like, they did it too soon. That didn't really
Yeah,
work
it
this
was
time.
it
way too
didn't work.
soon.
It
So,
didn't work because where did she come from? We had just seen her nowhere near there.
yeah.
Yeah, she was kicking up her feet.
Like it like they could have done something where he was like, "What were you doing out here?" And she was like, "I had to poop." Or like, like whatever. Like, what are
That would
you
have been.
doing out in the
I'm
woods?
glad that.
Checking the perimeter. It's pretty easy.
You didn't want her
I'm
to say
glad they
that?
didn't say that. No, I'm
But she
glad
didn't
that
say,
would.
"I'm gonna go check the perimeter." You gotta set these things up. Oh, she could have said, "I gotta go dump out." You know, and then we're like, "Oh, she's in the woods."
All right, I think
I
we're
will
getting
say this.
close.
We've seen
Did he
swamp
leave them?
planets, we've seen forest planets, we've never seen the pond planet before.
Also, did he that's funny. Did he leave with all his ice? It looked like he packed up all his guns. So was the assumption that, like, hey,
Good luck, everyone. Yeah,
we stopped him this
done
time.
deal.
Y'all
The
should buy some guns because I gotta take mine back.
18 raiders we saw running back into the woods aren't coming back, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're too scared now.
Yeah, if they like are watching what's happening, they're like, hey, Silver guy's gone. It looked like he packed up all
They said we don't have the
the
AT-ST that we didn't use to raid the village the
like
first time.
also that drove me nuts too,
Yeah.
like that we didn't see it the first time around because it was like that became the focal point. Yeah, I
Yeah,
this
they
one
clearly didn't need it to raid that village. They were
yeah
like,
and
we brought it all the way out here, don't even use it.
but then it became the important thing that's like that's how we're going to defeat them by taking out their big AT-ST.
That
And
they have heretofore not used.
poor structure, bad writing.
Yeah, but
Get it
Sam, you know
together.
what?
Hey,
They're
Disney Plus,
very.
get it together.
They don't need the blasters because they're very well trained. And it made me, I sang a little bit earlier in this episode, and I want to get something out here as well. This reminded me, made me think. This episode was really about a little callback to another Disney property of I'll make a Mandalorian out of you.
I'll make a Mandalorian out of you. Do you think they could get Donny Osmond on this show?
I think they might need him to replace me on this show.
Oh
We wouldn't
boy.
have him.
Well, that'll do it for the final episode of The Droids You're
I mean,
Looking
I knew
For.
my singing was bad. I didn't realize I could shut down the whole pod.
Do you think it's weird that like him and his wife have been working together so long? His wife Marie.
Oh boy.
Oh wow.
It's like, get a room, you know?
This has been Please don't.
Man, there's a
what do we think?
My grandma's no longer with us, but she hates that joke.
Hey, to our audience. To our audience out there, you know, write in. Do you like the Osmond commentary? Do you want more of it? Let us know.
For our audience out there who knows who the Tony Marie Osmond are.
Well, make sure you follow us for more jokes just like this on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, DroidsPod, YouTube.com/DroidsPod, where Ryan is continuing his playthrough of The Fallen Order.
Yeah, Jedi no one talked to me about it.
Well, we want to talk to you about it.
I'm sitting on all these secrets.
We are ready to talk to you about it at some point, Ryan. We want to. Otherwise, yeah, if we keep going on this episode, but we can't.
Yeah, we will.
That will do it for this edition of the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Don't forget to email us at droidspod@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of Chapter 4 of The Mandalorian. Guys, what a pleasure to have a little holiday pod with you.
It was great. It was great. I see that they have washers and dryers on sale here, so I might pick some of those up.
All right. Everybody enjoy the weekend. That bit. We hope you enjoy this. If you're, you know, if you're traveling back, trains, planes, automobiles, whatever you're in, we hope this has been good. It's been a pleasure, boys, as always. Ryan,
see you in the new year.
Pick me up an extra washer.
Yeah, I'll just get an extra washer.
Hey, get me some of that Baby Yoda merch that's out there, especially the exploding.
Yeah, exploding Baby Yoda. Oh my god, I'm gonna have to tackle a soccer mom. Okay, bye.
That will do it for this edition of the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
Boring conversation anyway.
Kowaki and monkey lizards on an open fire.
Oh my god. I don't have one.
Mike, you're gonna have to release that episode, that record solo.
Oh.